Good morning and happy Christmas. Really? Is that all we got? Happy Christmas. There you go. Turn to the person and say, happy Christmas. Now say it like you mean it. Come on, that's weak and limp and flaccid. Happy Christmases. I can't believe that kind of thing. Oh, happy Christmas. Are you guys excited that it's Christmas? Or is everybody just kind of hoping the weather holds just for another day? Well, happy Christmas anyways. It's an absolute honor to be speaking again this morning. My name is Greg Frommelt. I'm on staff here at Holy Trinity Rathmines, as well as I'm on the teaching team as well. I also am an author, and a lot of what I'm talking about this morning is coming from my book, Broken, that I published a few months ago. And my son, Eden, when he found out about this, said, Dad, can I sell your books today at church? And I'm like, please, you know, the whole table turning in the temple kind of thing. I'm not sure about that, but okay. And so he is going to be selling my books at the back, and he's got the best sales pitch ever. So if all else fails, just have a read of his sign and give him a high five on the way out. They're available at the back for 10 quid. Today we are going to look at Mary and her whole story and the part she played in Jesus. And I love this quote by a friend of mine called Ken Tanner, which is this: let us ponder the word speechless. Today, let us ponder the word speechless. Jesus, the Creator, arriving to us in a form that could not speak. The Word, alive, incarnate, today before us, speechless. So today we're going to ponder the word speechless and the beautiful collaborative nature of God. But also we're going to ponder the one chosen to carry the Creator in her womb. What? She was chosen to carry the Creator in her womb. And Isaiah writes this from one of the more famous Christmas verses that we'll be reading on the 25th as well. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Not apart, not against us, but actually with us. And the mad thing about this is Isaiah had prophesied this hundreds of years before it was fully realized. So there are lots of folks walking around knowing this scripture verse, wondering if it's them, if it's now. Am I going to be the one birthing the Messiah? Can you imagine? Someone in this room is going to give birth to God. It might happen today, or it might happen in the next hundreds of years. But for hundreds of years, they didn't know when the Messiah was going to come. They didn't know when Jesus was going to be born incarnate. I'm wondering if they were actually up for the task. I think it's fairly typical of the prophetic not to give us the specifics we need. Yeah, thanks. Kind of give a dateline would be very helpful on this one especially. But from a very simple family, we were all redeemed because of the faith and the trust of a young girl. And today what we're going to be talking about, and we're going to see through the story today, is that faith causes us to follow, but trust causes us to participate. I'll say that again. Faith causes each one of us to follow. Mary followed God on this call, but trust, the trust she had in God, caused her to participate. So you'll find this funny. This week, you know, whenever I approach my teachings, I start by sitting down, obviously, and praying. It's a good place to start when you want to speak to people that you trust and love and want to say what God maybe hopefully wants to say to you as well. And I started this week by saying, okay, God, Jesus, tell me, what do you want me to say about your mother? I mean, that's a daunting task any day of the week. I mean, but to speak to friends of Jesus, you're all friends of Jesus. You all know who Jesus is. You either know him through relationship or by love, on basis of love, or even by profanity. We all know who Jesus is. And even in this country, in Ireland, people say Jesus, Mary, and Joseph all the time in a profane way. So now I'm discussing Jesus' mother to people who are either friends of him by basis of love or even by profanity. You all know who he is. And I have to unpack who this mother of God is. Because I believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when I say Mother of God, I mean Mother of Jesus, obviously incarnate, Mother of God, the Creator. I want to be clear about that. But Jesus is part of the Trinity, and he was born, and he moved into the neighborhood, flesh and blood for each one of us. But there's just something about her, Mary. I want to say there's just something about Mary. I really do. I'm just going to say it anyways. Because no other disciple in the whole Bible was fully physically, emotionally, spiritually consumed like Mary. No one. Ponder that. God took over her body. And through courage and faith and trust, Mary brought about Jesus into this world at age 15 or 16, the age of my daughter. Some say even younger. And soon God became with us, Emmanuel, God with us. I can tell you, God with us must take on a totally different meaning when you're digesting food and pumping blood into the Son of God. Can you imagine what it'd be like as Mary? Her very blood was keeping God alive. Her food that she was eating was going into Jesus and nourishing Jesus as he was being born. Her amniotic fluid was flooding the lungs of God in her womb. Now, to be fair, that sounds like a lot much more fun in there, doesn't it? Should we all just go into that room? But I do find it fascinating, though, that literally that which was in Mary was also flowing into God himself, into Jesus in her womb. The Creator inhaling that which he created. That does my mind. It flips my mind over and over and over again. The Creator, part of the Trinity, inside of Mary, inhaling the amniotic fluid and digesting the blood running through his veins. The Creator living and being nourished by that which he created. So for Mary, you can imagine, this is truly a moment of the extraordinary coming from the ordinary. And as a man or a woman, I don't know about you, I don't care if you're a saint or a madman. If giving birth to God, to Jesus, doesn't absolutely freak you out, then you can probably add delusional to your resume. But could God have chosen anyone? Controversially, I'll say this. Yes, I believe he could have. I think God could have chosen any single person in all of human history to give birth to Jesus. But he chose Mary. And she said, yes. A woman of deep faith and trust. She said, yes. And we need to remember this, that Mary never had the luxury of reading the New Testament and seeing how it all worked out. She couldn't look back. She was there in that moment present. Angel, you will give birth. Okay, right. Now, here, what? She was right there in the moment. She wasn't making choices depending on circumstance, but she was making her choices depending on trust. Faith causes us to follow, but trust causes each one of us to participate. I wish there was more written about Mary's life in her post-50s. And someday I hope to write a little book on this, because the more I think about it, the more I wonder what it would have been like to be stalked or to be followed or to be asked mad questions her whole life. Or what it would be like to wonder what she'd done in her life to deserve such greatness, but also such tragedy at such a young age. Her son that she knew her whole life died after 3 years of a great ministry. I wonder what it would have been like for her to spend her early evenings on her knees, you know, maybe in her vegetable patch, silently weeping, missing the embrace of her son, maybe the laughter of her boy. But anyways, before all this happens, we have today's reading. And it's a bit of a long reading, so stick with me. But we're going to go through it anyways. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to the Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. The child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And I go on reading from the Message version written by Eugene Peterson, a paratranslation. I love this. Mary said, "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on the earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose name is holy, set apart from all others, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. His mercy flows in wave after wave of those who are in awe of him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked down tyrants of their high horses and pulled victims out of their mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. Faith causes us to follow. Trust causes each one of us and Mary to participate. As Mary approaches, Elizabeth's arms are thrown wide and a song rolls in from the deep. And Elizabeth, she sings and then they embrace. I love this. Wouldn't it be a great way to meet each other? Even over the next 10 days. When you see someone and something happens between you, you're excited that they're there, that you sing and then embrace. How awesome would that be? Our life could be a musical. I hate musicals. But our life could be a musical. John the Baptist begins leaping in Elizabeth's womb, recognizing Jesus through the womb, through the ribcage, through the muscles, through the organs, through the skin, through the between. John the Baptist, the soon-to-be prophet from the wilderness, was also a prophet from the womb. John the Baptist was the first to recognize Jesus. He would also become the first to introduce Jesus' ministry to the world. He recognizes Jesus, and then he's the first to introduce him later on. John the Baptist, recognizing Jesus from wombs to baptismal pools. I love that. Because recognizing Jesus, it's an instinctual thing. Even we cannot fully see. Sometimes I wonder, though, if we lost that ability. We've lost that ability to see Jesus between us, see Jesus working amongst us. Or maybe we've forgotten how to do it, or maybe we just fail to do it. Maybe we get lazy about it. Rumi, the 13th century poet, Persian poet, Islamic scholar, and the Sufi mystic, wrote this about Elizabeth's encounter with Mary. This is a quote from his poem, from Rumi. John the Baptist's mother secretly told Mary before she was delivered of her burden, quote, "Most certainly I saw a king in you, a lord of constancy and a wise apostle. Because whenever I encounter you, my baby bows to him." This is Elizabeth talking to Mary, reworking of the last verse. "My baby bows to him, illustrious lady. And this part just knocked me to the floor this week. My fetus bowed in worship to your fetus. My body was in pain from bowing so." Elizabeth to Mary, "My fetus bowed in worship to your fetus. My body was in pain from bowing so." And Mary said, "I also felt within me this baby's act of worship in my womb." What a beautiful reworking of that verse by Rumi. And just like John the Baptist and Jesus, I'll say again, recognizing God, it's an instinctive thing. Even we cannot fully see. And it happens between us. I have the absolute honor, as you know, of spending a week with the pastor and the author, Eugene Peterson, who rewrote the paratranslation, The Message, amongst 35 other books. And one of the questions I had asked him, and one of the answers that had come back, was literally about this between. And allow me to quote him here. Eugene Peterson recently said this to me, that, quote, "The most important thing about faith is that it's between you and me and God. But you can't see it. Between is a really powerful concept to understand the nature of what we're at all this time." End quote. The encounter of the in-between, where life meets life and dances. It's like the long run, you know, to a family member at the airport, or our surprise birthday party, or the kind of our very kind smile that takes place on a tough day. It's John leaping in the womb. It's that between. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? This is where faith exists. If faith exists between here and here, yes, but it exists between us as well, in that in-between space. But we need to open our eyes and begin to recognize. And I quote Eugene Peterson again, "The most important thing about faith, and it's between you and me and God, but you can't see it. Between is a really powerful concept to understand the nature of what we're at all this time. But again, the between can be so easily missed, especially when we don't look for it. And the between can sometimes be seen as slightly insignificant. And I have a love-hate relationship with significance. I don't know about you. I like to be significant. I like to make an impact. But the more I look at the stories in the Bible, the more I look at the lives that I really look up to, the more I even look at my own life, I realize that the significant is rarely in the center of the stage. Just look at Mary and Joseph and this refugee family carrying this refugee God. Maybe we need to look at our fringes more. Maybe we need to look at the fringes of our life and of society more. And when we do, we might see that the movement of God is rarely detected in the center, but is often found on the fringes. Because all of their lives in this story, Mary and Joseph and John the Baptist and Elizabeth and Zechariah, all these guys, their lives surrounded the epicenter of the baby born to represent each one of us. And all of our lives surround the epicenter of the baby born to represent us all as well. This is not a solo act. This is a full company on life's stage. We're all in this together. Because restoration of society, of our own lives, of our churches and our communities, it doesn't have just one name. It has many, many names. It begins with Jesus, and it continues with us, the God with us. This encounter of the in-between in faith and life. Before I finish up, I just want to read you just a little bit from this book that I found earlier from a local author. It's my one. Chapter 7 is pretty much about this in-between. And it's all about the story and unpacking the story of Jesus and Mary and Joseph and all the players in that stage. And the chapter is called Trust and Faithfulness. But I just want to read this real quick. These stories articulate so much of our understanding of God and the trust he places in each one of us. What comes into sharp focus into the kingdom of God is personal first. It has a name. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Alex, Jamie, Emma, Joshua, Paul, Rob, James, Scott. It's all there. Joe, Sherry, Ruth. I forgot your name, sorry. It's not all in there, by the way. The kingdom of God never ceases to be personal. Yet part of the problem with faith is that it's always personal. That's why it's so intimate, so compelling, so infuriating, and so divisive. But faith is not just a concept or a high ideal that we can pontificate upon and control. It is living, it is breathing, and it is personal. But personal does not mean exclusive. Faith is collective, fueled by trust. We sang a great song this morning, and Oh Come Let Us Adore Him, and we're going to sing that a little bit in just a second. But I just want to say that my mind is blown by this story every time I read it. The trust that the Creator extended to his creation. Now you go ahead, Mary. You said yes. Now you carry this fragile, speechless fetus. And you give birth to it. And you nurture it. And when the incarnate is ready, his ministry will change the world. Mary carried redemption in her womb, Jesus. And each one of us, each one of us has an ability to carry hope in our souls to this world as well. That's what this is all about. Jesus gave his Holy Spirit so that we can walk out of this room and be Jesus to others, to spiritually, to mentally, to physically, to emotionally participate in the incarnate, bringing God to others and participating in the between. Because again, faith causes us to follow, but trust causes us to participate. And this song, O Come All You Faithful, it's such an invitation. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. All hail, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning, in 3 days' time. O Jesus, forever be thy name adored. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Let's pray. God, I don't feel like I would be the guy saying, choose me, when it comes to doing such a courageous thing that Mary did. Thank you that she said yes. But God, I do say, choose me, when it comes to somehow, today, tomorrow, next week, being hope to others. The hope that you are to us. God, I ask that you help help me see the between today and tomorrow and this week, and what you're doing in lives, in my life, in my friends' lives. Help me not to be afraid of the fringes. Help me to see the significance in everyone. Emmanuel, you are with us. Today I want to have a sign now that says to be continued ... because we're going to hear the fuller story later on in this week. But for now, maybe we'll just sing a few times, oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.